It's Song Talk Radio.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become better at writing songs. Dialing in from our Toronto headquarters, I'm Neil Modi, and with me, my co-host, Mr. Phil Emery. How you doing, Phil?
I am doing very well. Very happy because it's been wonderful weather here in St. John's, Newfoundland. For a change, we've had the best spring, very little rain, and of course, which means lots of wildfires. So I guess you can't have everything.
No. Surprised we didn't have a wildfire here in the middle of Toronto with 40-degree weather today.
Yes. If you've never been to Toronto, it gets surprisingly hot sometimes.
Well, yeah, there's not, I'm in the concrete jungle, so yeah, sea islands everywhere. Yeah, not fun. Just glad the AC's working. I'll say that. Right. For everyone else, please send your comments, questions, your current temperatures to at Song Talk Radio on Facebook or Instagram, or feedback at songtalk.ca for the email. And we'll share your thoughts on the show. And please visit songtalk.ca to see the show post for this episode, to find links to resources we mention, and to download lyric and chord sheets to follow along with the songs that we feature. Tonight, we're happy to welcome singer-songwriter Zoe Thiessen to the show. How are you doing, Zoe?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
Great to have you on the show. And before we get to Zoe's great song, it's another heads up about our songwriting challenge for 2025, which we extend to our listeners and to ourselves, is to write a song in an odd time signature this year. And if you check out the webpage, songtalk.ca, on the sidebar, there is a link there to the songwriting challenge, and you can check out a couple of episodes we did about odd time signatures and a couple of videos and all that sort of thing. And deadlines are coming soon. So deadline announcements are coming soon. Have you started on your challenge yet, Phil?
Sorry, no, I haven't started it yet, but I've figured out I'm going to do it in 7/4.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so I've never done anything for 7/4. Kind of done stuff in 5/4, so 7/4 would be, and 3/4, okay. So 7/4 would be kind of enough of a stretch for me. I'll keep it realistic and achievable.
Yeah, keep it simple. You don't have to explore the whole gambit of everything.
No.
It goes for our listeners, too.
That's true.
Certainly don't have to.
I might try doing a second one. I guess maybe I'll do a bridge and a second time signature. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. See what you mean. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. That makes sense. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm yet still at the conceptual stage. I know the approach I want to take, but I don't know anything beyond that.
Yes, the joys of last minute panic.
Yeah, exactly. How about you, Zoe? Do you ever engage in songwriting challenges yourself?
You know, I've never done one. Yeah, I like the concept. I've never tried to write a song. You know, like it's always been, you know, it came to me or whatever, but I should probably sit down and give it a go one day.
Well,
different process.
yeah, because you're given parameters to work within. You're given a sandbox to play in, right? So you can only go so far. You have to play in this space, which is kind of a cool way to do it.
It's also a great cure for writer's block.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it'll force you into thinking in a different way and maybe not really worrying about whether or not it's good. You're just going to write something. And that's a good way of getting over the block that we put on ourselves when we think too much.
Yeah. I like that. Or even giving yourself a time constraint. I wonder if that would help. Like I'm going to sit down for like an hour and just whatever comes out, you know?
Yeah, and then that's actually a thing I discovered when we did last year's challenge is that I gave myself actually a lot of time to develop it, and that actually worked out in a different way. And I knew I needed the time, so I deliberately got started early this year. I'm procrastinating.
Okay, yeah. Is it one a year?
We do it once a year. Of course, there are many other opportunities. Toronto Songwriting Association is doing them on the regular. There's the other group I'm with based out of Minnesota, which is the At Home Songwriting Group, which is led by Chad Shank, teaches at Berkeley and everything. He runs a great group. And he does. Last year, he did a one-day challenge, which was amazing. He put the parameters down on a Saturday morning, and we had to publish our songs by Sunday morning.
And then, cool. Oh yeah.
And then we had the meetup to share them all, and it was pretty incredible. I got the thing done in like 4 hours, completely forgot.
Yeah.
The time we had to share it. But you know, he does these other ones where it's like a month long usually, and that sort of thing. Ours, we start talking about it, you know, almost a year in advance, so people have months to contemplate it. But
yeah.
Of course. But at our meetup group last month, actually, I don't want to spoil who, but someone brought a song that was in an on-time signature. I didn't even know it was an on-time signature. And he said, afterwards, this is the song I'm going to use for your challenge this year.
So good.
One person is done already. I know that.
I wonder who that would be.
Early bird.
Which of course is a great thing. We get our listeners and our meetup people to submit their songs as well. And we spend like 3 or 4 episodes just showcasing their stuff, which is really cool.
Yeah, and it's great stuff too. Some of the songs are really, really good.
They're solid.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, deadline can be a good thing for sure, right?
Yeah. Well, stay tuned to the podcast and to the website, and we will be putting up the deadlines pretty soon. So we'll have a go at that. Okay. Zoe Thiessen is a singer-songwriter, guitarist, and violinist. Now based in Toronto after years of living abroad. Her finely crafted songs always have a hint of the fairy tale about them, and she delivers them with a warm alto that has a timbre all its own. She released her first album, The Lives of Saints and Sinners, in 2012, described by Penguin Eggs magazine as a sparkling debut. Since then, her musical curiosity while living abroad led her to play in a number of bands from French jazz to country folk. Now back in Toronto, she's performing her own material alongside Toronto guitar veteran Jessica Stewart, and in June of 2025, released her indie folk EP, Sneak Back In. It's a collection of 6 songs produced by Stewart on the theme of alienation and reconciliation that range from heartbreakingly intimate to cathartically danceable. Great to have you on the show, Zoe.
Good to be here. Thanks.
All right. We're going to be talking to Zoe about her song, Such a Good Girl. And remember, folks, you can find the lyric sheet on the show post at songtalk.ca to follow along. Let's have a listen.
Ripping, smashing, tearing, lashing, clutching, raging, play. Why am I such a good girl? Writhing, aching, groping, taking, moaning, taunting, play. Why am I such a good girl? I don't want to do violence to anyone. Just rip those bad assumptions from your eyes. We're pulsing and raging like anyone. Our skin is a poultry disguise. Why am I such a good girl? Such a good girl. Clawing, throwing, daring, owning, warping, scorning, pain. Why am I such a good girl? Flexing, teeming, burning, seething, splitting, breaking, pain. Why am I such a good girl? Such a good girl. Just rip those bad assumptions from your eyes. We're
That's great.
We had a lot of fun with that.
Well, one thing that's interesting, you introduced the name of the song so early, but when you hit your weight, you have that very high note, that little weight, and then you have your signature line, which works so well because it's that weight focuses the ear and just sets up the good girl, which is like such a great hook. And I love the ooze between the sections, between the chorus and between choruses, I guess, actually.
Right. At the end of it. Yeah. It's when it starts to get a little darker.
It's like dissonant in this weird kind of way.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing there?
So at that point, it's going from the one to the, it's like a, What is it? It's in D, and it's like D to E7. So it's like a dominant 7-2, whatever. and then the ooh themselves are just like chromatic, like just going down semitones. So you're getting all the in between notes there, right? So which makes it sound a little eerie or something. Yeah, there's a lot of chromatic notes in this.
Yeah, a lot of chromaticism going on in here. Yeah, no, it's very cool because typically, I mean, it's kind of a post-chorus. Like, it's after your lyrical chorus, which is full of content. Like, it's a very dense chorus in that. There's a lot of, it's not even a lot of words, but they're all, like, there's a lot of meat on the bone, right? And
yeah.
And then the woo-woos are typically in a pop song format. They're like the, you know, the extra little catchy bit on the end. But here you're going into a really
interesting that you think of it that way, because I guess I always thought of it as like a pre-chorus. Like, I introduced the pre-chorus in the after the second verse, and then the third verse just it becomes the whole verse. But to you, it sounds like part of the chorus, which is a interesting to me just to hear.
Because it happens that's right, you do it before the chorus, but you also do it after the chorus.
So it's just like a bigger
Well, that, because the ooze in pop music these days is very often like the root to the fifth, which works because it's used all so often, but you've kind of played with form a bit. And what's nice is that it sounds kind of dissonant, but not really dissonant.
I guess you have the intervals, but you end up on a normal note.
But the first note is often, because it's that semitone difference, it really puts that, it's a bit of friction and then resolves. It's really, but what was the decision to do the oohs? Like, was it the thing right from the start, or did you have?
No, I don't think so. I think I started with, this is the only song I think I've ever written where I actually started with some lyrics, like just no tune, anything. I was kind of like journaling, which I don't do a lot, but in this case it was, you know, a bit of a dark time in my life, and I was journaling a bit, and then I guess the words themselves got stuck in my head, and I started, I kind of took something dark and I think made it a bit playful, right? Like, there's, I think, a bit of a playful, it's a dark but playful song, right? Like, or that's what I was going for. It's a bit of a...
Yeah, it's certainly topical and it's got something to say, but at the same time, it's like, even the verses are so like ripping, smashing, tearing, lashing, clutching, raging. Like, it's so like, it's poetic and yet punchy.
A bit theatrical, I think. It's like over the top kind of.
Yes. So certainly that too, you know. But then when you get to the chorus, it's more sing-songy,
and it's a
great contrast. But you're even bringing back the "Why Am I Such a Good Girl" in the same way every single time. So we're always bringing the tension, and then bringing back to the resolution, you know, at the end of each section, which is just great.
Well, I'm thinking that it's, they always say about, you know, wanting to get your hooks in really, really early on because of the, you know, the way of TikTok and social media listening, and you actually have hook is in your first line.
Just get it right in there.
Well, I mean, the melodies are, or the verses are so hooky. I was sort of almost wanting another verse towards the end, but you never actually go back to the verse, which I was kind of disappointed.
Right. But it's a really short song. There's no bridge.
True. Yeah.
It's literally like verse, chorus, kind of with the ooze. And then the instrumental buildup at the end, which reminded me of Day in the Life.
the Beatles? Is that the Beatles?
Yeah, right.
I mean, and the Police do this a lot where the after your last chorus, you actually almost do like completely different music in some ways. And it really was. It was sort of its own separate thing.
Yeah.
Wound up with that great big, huge, like some Beatles ending, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah, and I did want that from the start when I knew it had to be I had to wait until I recorded it to do all that I wanted to do, but I was like, yeah, I think this song needs a big outro where everything's kind of spinning out of control.
So what do you do when you're performing this song live? Do you go bonzo on the violin at the end?
So yeah, when I play with So when I play with Jessica Stewart, who is the producer, but I also play with her as a duo. So when she's playing guitar, then I'll play my violin and I'll do one of the lines in the outro. So it's kind of how it sounds. And then if I'm just singing it with my guitar, then I just end after the last ooze, like the chromatic ooze. Girl, and then that it ends there.
And so. Just end it. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. It always morphs and changes depending on how many instruments you got on stage, I guess. And what about the, like, I'm curious about the verses, because it's an interesting approach, because typically, I mean, you know, Nashville 101, you put the story stuff in the verse. You're not doing that. You're just giving us a bunch of verbs. and it's a very interesting approach, and especially because your chorus is really where you're telling us more stuff.
Right.
You know, so in some ways it's kind of an opposite approach. But I don't know, was that just that just felt right, or was that something you kind of set up?
Well, I just started with these kind of, well, I guess they're not emotions, I guess they're verbs, but like these very like kind of messy things go on, you know, representing things going on, you know, on the interior. And then I think from the beginning, you're setting up, just painting a picture really, right? Like it's not very rational. It's not like, I'm not explaining anything. I'm just putting it out there, these messy things. And then it's like, wait, why am I such a good girl? And it's supposed to be painting a picture of like mess. And then, why am I such a good girl? So, I guess it's more impressionistic perhaps than like, it's not really storytelling in any way, but it's, more, I don't know, painterly perhaps, or something like just rah, 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 rah. And a bit theatrical, I think it's supposed to be a bit.
You have a background in theater?
I don't. My brother is he's a drama teacher. But I always thought I could do comedy, maybe.
Right. Yeah, and there's some overlap there, right?
So what were the words that you started off with?
So I think the initial words were maybe like the first verse, although I might have changed it a bit on the last, but like just these verbs. And then I had like the first part of the chorus, I think is what I started off with. And then as I started getting such a good girl was definitely part of the initial words. And then as I started to develop, like, you know, probably such a good girl was like the tune that I first had, like, why am I such a good girl? And that violin line too was very early. Like I always pictured that the plucked one. Like I always, that was always kind of there in the beginning. And then the ooze came, I think after I wrote the first two verses, I was like, it just felt too repetitive. I was like, well, what am I going to do for the third verse? And it almost just felt too repetitive to do it again, right? To have another verse of these like weird abstract verb stuff. I don't know grammatically exactly what they are, but
it might be kind of tough after a while to get new verbs.
Appropriate verbs, yeah.
Yes. So I don't think you repeat any of them, do you? No.
No, I hope not. I try not to.
You know, that's a good way of handling it, because sometimes we come up with songs and we have these kind of, we set up a rule in our verses and you want to keep them, because if you break that rule, suddenly it calls attention to itself, and maybe you want to do that, maybe you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of actually, you know, killing yourself trying to get to a third verse pair, you just didn't do it, and you didn't have to.
I just didn't do it. And I guess it's kind of like a pseudo bridge, maybe. Like sometimes you'll only have two verses and you have like your bridge, and this is a maybe kind of a bridge substitute, you know, like a weird.
The ooh-oohs, you mean?
The oohs, yeah. Yeah.
In some ways it is. It kind of fills the same function, maybe.
Right, yeah.
Even though it may not be in the traditional spot is all, but it provides a respite and then you come back to it, right?
Well, it's a really, it's a good audio palette cleanser, because it's not just doing the ooh-oohs on a verse chords or the chorus chords. You know, it's very much its own kind of thing. So it does kind of work that way. It just sort of really clears it out. And of course, the changes towards the end, which are just so neat and unexpected, which is great.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it really builds, really amplifies at the end. Like it becomes this big thing. Is this song in 6/8 or is it in 3/8?
I think it's...
Or is it both?
It could be either, I think, but I think we ended up plugging it in as 6/8.
Because the verses kind of sound more 3/8, because about ba da 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 da.
Yeah.
But then the chorus definitely gets a bump.
The chorus I think of almost like 4/4, like da da two two three.
Yeah, but four, it's certainly a 6/8, because it's 4/4 but triplet. If you like? But
yeah.
Interesting.
So it is 4/4.
Well. I think it's debatable. I think I think of the chorus as being in 4/4 and then the verses as 6/8. But I think you could do either, like if you were conducting or something, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or you could be like 1, 2, 2, 2.
If it's 4/4, then it's certainly triplets on the 4/4. It's one triplet, two triplet, three triplet, four triplet.
Right.
Or it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2. It's kind of, it feels the same.
Yeah. Or
less, right. So you're right. It could be interpreted either way.
Was it,
usually when they come down to writing it down in like sheet music, they just go with whatever's simpler to visualize.
Hmm.
Right.
If it's
you know, because typically if it was a sheet music, this thing, I probably would go with 6/8, because then you got to put the little bracket three over everything in 4/4. And I wouldn't want to do that. So I just probably just write it in eighth notes and be done with it.
We did plug in a few different tempos into the track. Yeah. Like the verse stuff is like the slowest one, because it's like you're drawing it out a little bit, and then when you click back into the "Such a Good Girl," that's faster, and then the chorus is actually the fastest.
Okay, is each chorus progressively faster, or
I think they're all the same. Yeah, I think they're all the same.
So it's like verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, like it goes up and down.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because the chorus is supposed to be a bit more rocky. Yeah.
What a great idea.
And that's really important when you're producing, because I'm encountering the same thing with my band Bay Shelter, is that like some of the songs they want to ebb and flow a little bit. They don't feel right at a consistent tempo, just the way we played them live. And some of them demand that they do be at a consistent tempo, even if we don't play at a consistent tempo. Live.
And you don't necessarily realize what you're doing until you sit down and have to like map it out with a click track. You're like, oh, actually, yes. Really, like I play this faster. And fortunately, they were very supportive. And they're like, well, let's lock it. Let's do the tempos that you do, because that's what feels.
So did you do like a scratch guitar track first and base it off of that?
Yes.
All right.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then that's the important thing too, is make the technology work for your song, not the other way around. You don't want to be a slave to the technology.
Right, yeah.
Because it's so easy just to throw up 120, 4/4 and go.
yeah. No, totally. And I love what Ryan, the drummer and percussionist did. Like when we were first talking about what to do with the song, I wasn't sure I actually pictured drums on this one necessarily. Like I couldn't myself imagine what he would do, but I love what he ended up. They're like clicky clackies at the beginning. Tucka, tucka, tucka. Right. I think it, really locks it in.
It worked really well.
So when you were writing this, you weren't sort of thinking, oh, I'm going to do a song in 6/8 or anything. You just started off playing type thing?
Yeah, whatever came out. And then
when you write out your songs for yourself, how do you do? You just do like a lead sheet kind of thing? Like to record?
Yeah. Down? Oh, to record, like, for myself, I don't really write anything out until I have to share it with somebody else.
Right, it's all in your head, or is it all in, it's all in voice memos and stuff?
Voice, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. If I need to remember something, I'll do a little voice memo.
Okay.
But even the chords, like I didn't really know what that second chord was in the verse, duh, until I had to write it out. And then, because I was just going by a shape, I was like, had a C shape, and then I moved it over, took a finger off, and I was like, I like the sound of that. And then figure out what it is. And I'm not even sure totally. I think on my chord sheet, it's a G major 7th root E, but I think it could also be a D minor 9th.
Hmm.
So, sometimes you just develop something, right? But like you're moving your hands around and this is cool.
If it sounds cool, then it is, right?
Yeah.
But you're right. When you have to communicate it with somebody else, then
that's when you got to get the charts out.
That's when you got to get out. Yeah. and that's what I was saying earlier about expressing it in the simplest way, because you want someone else to understand it. It's
exactly.
In the simplest way.
Yeah, for sure.
D minor 7 flat 5 as opposed to a G over E.
Like, how long ago did you write this?
I guess I wrote it about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And then we recorded it. What is that? I'm losing track of time. I guess a year and a bit ago. And then, released it in June. So, yeah, pretty fresh.
How's the response been?
It's all relative, I guess. A lot of people have gotten some good response from, all of my friends and had an album release concert and people seem to like it. But we'll see. I'm going to hopefully do a tour in the fall and keep getting it out there.
It's a great song.
I haven't gone viral yet. That's what you're wondering.
Fair enough. Right.
I haven't made my fortune yet off of the sound.
How many songs are on the EP?
Six songs.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Compact size.
Well, then any longer, then it's no longer an EP.
It's an LP.
Yeah.
Which I never understood why extended is longer than long, or is not longer than long. Long is longer than extended.
Yeah, it should be extended single, I guess.
I guess so, but how is it a single if it's six songs?
I don't know, Neil. I don't make up the rules.
I know you.
I just work here.
Insane. None of it makes any sense.
Nothing makes sense. It's all entropy.
Nothing makes sense.
It's all entropy.
The whole world is topsy-turvy. What's going on?
Dogs and cats living together.
Man. As long as you control this one thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and with streaming, you can do. We had what? Vendor Amanda Sum, singer-songwriter from Vancouver, very theater-based. She did a EP of 18 songs that was all in within 15 minutes. All EP was 15 minutes long, was 18 songs. So some songs were like 12 seconds. It's like, you can do anything you want. It doesn't have to fit on a 45-minute LP or a record.
That's true.
It doesn't have to fit on a tape. It doesn't have to fit on a CD. You can just do whatever you want. It's amazing.
That's true.
Well, if I can do a 12-second song, I can for sure crank out a song challenge. Headline.
That's true. There's no time restriction.
Right? Yeah, so. we don't put a minimum time. Yeah, just time signature. That's all. All right, I'm here in the band. I think that's all the time we have on Song Talk Radio. Special thanks to Zoe Thiessen. So where can our listeners find out more about you and hear some more of your music?
All right, well, I'm on all those regular streaming places. I have a band camp. It's Zoe Thiessen. It's Zoe Thiessen. Or Instagram at Zoe Thiessen. Same phone. And Spotify, things at OETHIESSU.
All right. And we'll definitely send our listeners there via the show post for this episode. So check that out. And we want to hear from you, too. So please send your comments on Facebook or Instagram to @songtalkradio or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes. And subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And you can support us at our Patreon page and visit songtalk.ca/support. Thank you to everyone who has supported us so far. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on the show on our resources page on the website. And please join us at our next monthly Song Talk meetup. Whether you're in Toronto for our in-person meetups or anywhere in the world for our online meetups, it's free to join on Eventbrite and free to attend. Bring a song and a lyric sheet and get constructive feedback from other songwriters. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. You can follow me at neilmodi.com. You can follow Phil.
PhilEmery.ca.
And Zoe, what's your favorite social media channel? Where do you post the most?
Probably Instagram.
Instagram, definitely follow Zoe there. That's where I connected with you, I think. And be sure to stop by the website at songtalk.ca to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest. Thanks for tuning in and keep on writing.
Good night, everyone.